Luke chapter 9. And when your pastor read that passage of Scripture, I especially wanted you to hear how those people were described as sheep without a shepherd. Now, can you imagine what a sheep is without a shepherd? That's a hard thing to think about. I'm not sure how much I understand about that, but a sheep without a shepherd's in bad shape. And the Scripture says that the Lord was moved with compassion toward these people. Now, in Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 10, and the apostles, when they were returned, he sent them out two and two to preach the gospel and to heal the sick. And they had returned, and they told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. Now, he took them aside in order for them to rest for a while. We read in that passage of Scripture that they didn't even have any leisure to eat. There were so many people pressing upon them all the time, wanting to see the Lord Jesus, wanting their needs met from him. And they didn't have any private time, and they went off by themselves. Verse 11, and the people, when they knew, followed him, and he received them. We've already read in Mark chapter 6 how he was moved with compassion when they came to him. He wasn't irritated. He wasn't aggravated. He left to get away from the multitude, it seems, yet when they come to him, he was not irritated. He was not aggravated. He received them, the Scripture says. He received them. And spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. Now, I'm in the habit of looking up the meaning of words in passages that I preach from. Sometimes it gives a little more light, and for some reason I looked up the word people. And I thought it was interesting when I read the definition of that word. The word people is a word that's generally translated multitude. When we read in the Scriptures the multitude, and the definition the dictionary gave of this particular word was the confused throng. The confused throng. I could identify a little bit with that. And these people are described as sheep without a shepherd. So you can see where these people were a confused throng. Now, I entitled this message, A Message for the People. But I could have just as easily entitled this, A Message for the Confused Throng. That's who our Lord was dealing with at this time. Now, verse 11 is our text, and the people, the confused throng, the multitude, when they knew, not before then, but when they did know it, they followed him. Now, what was it they knew that inspired them to follow him? Well, they knew where he was. It really is very simple. They knew where he was. He was out in the desert place, outside of the city of Bethsaida. But when they knew where he was, they followed him. They came to him. And my dear friend, if you know, if I know where he is, we will follow him. Now, it's absolutely necessary that we know where he is. But if we do know where he is, we too will follow him. Now in our text, he was in a desert just outside of the city of Bethsaida. That was then. This is now. Now I've got a very simple question. Where is he right now? While I'm speaking with you, where is the Lord Jesus right now? Would you you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Let's begin reading in verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who, being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. I want to ask you two questions. First, is He still there? Is He still seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high? You know He is. Now, the second question I want to ask you is, what does that mean? What does that signify? What can we learn from that? Well, the fact that He's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high tells us that He's seated right now while I'm speaking. He is seated in the place of all authority and all control and all power. He's at the right hand of God. And you know what He's doing there? He is reigning in absolute, uncontested, irrevocable sovereignty. He is reigning. His sovereignty, when we talk about His sovereignty, that means He reigns. He has a will. He has the power to make sure His will comes to pass. And He has the right to make sure His will comes to pass because of who He is. Now, that's talking about the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ. His sovereignty is universal. That means it extends over all of His creatures and all of His creation. I don't care if we're talking about the hurricane going on right now, if we're talking about demons, the devil, men, believers, unbelievers, the weather. His sovereignty is universal. He's in absolute control of everything. His sovereignty is absolute. That means there's no limit that can be placed upon His authority. You know, you can't overstate the sovereignty of God, can you? It's impossible to do. His sovereignty is absolute, and His sovereignty is immutable. It cannot not be. It cannot not be. What I'm saying is, He reigns. Where He's at right now, the place of absolute control. And the fact that He's sat down there tells us that His work has already been completed. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now, why did He sit down? Well, the first question is what was His work? Well, remember that passage of Scripture in Hebrews 1:3? He, by Himself, I love that. He, by Himself, no contribution from us. No contribution from any man. He needed no help from you or I. He, by Himself, unaided by creature strength, He, by Himself, purged our sins. And when He sat down, you know what that means? My sins have been purged. Put away. They are no more. Isn't that wonderful? What sin? It's been put away by what Christ did. Now, that's where He's at. He's seated right now as I speak, floundering around. He's seated at the right hand of the Father in absolute sovereignty. He sat down because His work, the work of purging His people from their sins, is already a completed work. He sat down because the job I come to Him who has salvation in His hand. Now, When I know where he is, and I mean really believing this. I'm not talking about somebody says this and I get it memorized, Luke's at the right hand. I'm talking about really believing it. When I know where he is, at the right hand of the majesty on high, the place of all power and authority, and I know his posture there, seated, having finished his work, completed salvation, nothing for me to do. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come to him. I'm going to follow him. Now look what it says, back to our text in Luke chapter 9. Would you turn with me there? And the people, this poor, confused multitude, and the people, when they knew where he was, that's what that's talking about. Luke 9:11. And the people, when they knew it, they knew where he was, they followed him. Now, what's this mean? They followed him. Well, the word is very simple. If I follow someone, that means I go in the same way they go. And if I follow the Lord Jesus Christ, where's he at? He's at the right hand of the Father. He's in the very presence of God. If I follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that means I come into the presence of God where he is the precise same way he did. Now, is that clear? If I come into the very presence of God following Christ, I come the exact same way he did. Now, how did he come into the presence of the Father? Would you turn with me to Hebrews 9? I love this. This gives me some confidence. Look here in verse 12, Hebrews chapter 9. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, how did he enter into the presence of the Father? He came with his own blood. He came and offered himself without spot unto God. He came with his own blood. Do you know how I come? The same way. I come pleading nothing else. I come no other way. I come pleading nothing. And as I'm speaking to you right now, oh, may this be the truth. May I be honest here? I hope I am. I'm pleading nothing but his blood. That's it. Nothing else. Not even thinking of anything else. How did he come into the presence of the Father? With his own blood, by his own merit. I come pleading nothing but his merit. I come the same precise way. Now, that's how you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You come into the presence of the Father the same way he came. Pleading nothing but his blood, his righteousness. Now, I want to ask you a question. Have you come to God by him? You see, we're to come to God by him. When we say, well, my salvation is based upon his righteousness. You know, that's not really very accurate. My salvation is not based upon his righteousness. My salvation is his righteousness. It's not based upon him. He is salvation. I come to God by him. That's the way I come. I come by him. He said, I'm the door, by me, if any man enter. I won't dare plead anything else. Oh, may the Lord deliver me from it. He's able to save them to the uttermost that come to God. Anybody know the next word? By him. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, have we come to God by him? That's what it means to follow him. We reach the destination, the presence of the Father, in the precise same way he came. He came by his own merit. We come the same way. And what's it say in our text? Verse 11, and the people, when they knew, they followed him and he received them. He received them. He embraced them. You know, he welcomed them. Now, when you read what took place, it seems like he was going there to get away from them, doesn't it? I mean, that's the way it appears. He wanted to get away. They didn't have any leisure, not so much as to eat. I mean, they had people on them all the time. I can understand him wanting to get away. And I can also understand when he sees them coming toward him, he thought, oh, you know, here they are. But that's not what happened, though. Our Lord is not like that. The Scripture says He welcomed them. He received them. As a matter of fact, that passage of Scripture we read in Mark chapter 6 says He was moved with compassion toward them. And He received them. He welcomed them. He embraced them. You see, He has made this promise. John chapter 6, verse 37, He said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise, for no reason whatsoever, cast out." You know what that means? That means if you come to Him, He won't turn you out. I don't care what your condition is. I don't care how far you've fallen. I don't care how low you feel. It doesn't make any difference. If you come to Him, He has promised He will not cast you away. Now that's the promise of the Savior. Him that cometh to me, if you come to God by Him, you've got this promise. He will not cast you out. You know, you'll be accepted. You'll be accepted. I can't describe how bad that I hate the phrase, "Won't you accept Jesus?" I find it offensive. It offends me. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is not up for your acceptance or rejection, or man's acceptance or rejection. You know what I'm saying? We don't like that, do we? Somebody says, "Won't you accept Jesus?" That's not the issue. What? You'll accept Him? Well, you know, I'm sure He feels really good about it. You know, I mean, it doesn't work that way. The issue is not, will you accept Him? The issue is, will He accept you? Will He receive you? Will He embrace you? Will He welcome you? Well, the answer is, if you come to the Father by Him, the answer is yes, He will. You know, the leper understood that. I love that passage of Scripture where that leper, he's full of leprosy, the Scripture says, and he comes to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Lord, if You will, if You will." Now, I can understand why he said that. If You will. I can understand why he think, well, maybe He won't. I can see why He wouldn't. I certainly wouldn't charge Him with injustice if He didn't. But if You will, it's in Your sovereign hands. If You will, You can make me clean. You know what the Lord said to that fellow? "I will." He always does. "I will. Be thou clean." Now, beloved, come right now. Don't wait. Whoever comes will be received. And listen to me, it's not a long journey. It's not a process. It's not something that takes a lot of time. You come in your heart right now by simply believing that who He is and what He did is enough to make you accepted before God. Nothing else is needed. Come right now. And let me remind you this. Your pastor's already alluded to this. This is not an invitation. This is a command. Are you weary and heavy laden? He doesn't invite you to come. He commands you to come. And I like it better that way, because if all it is an invitation, I'm going to figure out a way to think maybe He didn't mean me. Or maybe He meant somebody else. But I'm commanded. I'm commanded to come right now. He received them. They followed Him and He received them. And what did He speak of? Look in verse 11. "And the people, when they knew, when they knew where He was, they followed Him. And He received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God." What was His subject? He spake unto them of the kingdom of God. Now, would you turn with me for a moment to Romans chapter 14? This would be a summary of what He said regarding the kingdom of God, because He's the one who inspired Paul to make this statement. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink." Maybe a simple way to put that is, the kingdom of God is not do's and don'ts. It's not what you eat and what you don't eat, what you drink and what you don't drink. It's not do's and don'ts. What is it? It's righteousness. Whose righteousness? I was listening to a preacher preach this week. And he was preaching out of Revelation chapter, I believe it's chapter 17 or chapter 19, where it says regarding the church, unto her was granted that she could be, that she would be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, and this is the righteousness of the saints. And the preacher made this statement. This is not talking about imputed righteousness. This is talking about the good deeds of the saints. I don't believe that for a second. I know it's not what it's talking about. For one thing, it's what's given. To her was granted, graciously bestowed. What is the righteousness of the saints? Is it your good works? Is it your anything? It's the righteousness and merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. That perfect garment of righteousness that He covers His people with. Justification by His righteousness. Just as if I've never sinned goes further than that. Not only have I never sinned, I've never sinned in Him. In Christ. That righteousness. That right. It's His righteousness. That's what we're talking about. That's the righteousness. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's righteousness. The righteousness of the Redeemer. That perfect obedience before the law that He worked out. And what comes from that? Peace. Peace. Takes pressure off, doesn't it? Matter of fact, makes your body relax. Peace. And what else? Joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Oh, the joy of knowing that He is my righteousness before God. That's joyous. That's what He spake to them about. This confused multitude, they come to Him. He speaks to them of the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now back to our text. Here's the phrase that really caught my attention. And the people, when they knew, they followed Him. They went to where He was, the same way He went. And He received them and embraced them and welcomed them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. Who can tell how many different kinds of diseases there were in this confused multitude? Here comes a blind man groping his way there, had never seen before. And He gave him sight. He healed him. Here comes a leper who knows what his body looked like at this time. Disgusting to the multitude. Everybody moved away when He came through. And He healed them. His flesh was made pure and clean. Here comes a quadriplegic on a stretcher. They bring him in. He's never walked. He heals him. Here comes somebody who's deaf. He's never heard a voice. And He heals him. He hears. And he had 100% success rate. There wasn't anybody who came and they didn't have enough faith to be healed. No, He healed them with a word. They present themselves to Him. He healed them by word. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. All He had to do was will it, and it took place. A 100% success rate. Everybody who came to Him, He healed without any exceptions, no case too hard, no instance where He was unable for any reason. He healed them that had need of healing. Notice how these people are described whom He healed. He healed them that had need. Your repeat that. He healed them that felt their need. Didn't say that, does it? You know, we sing that song, "Let not conscience make you linger, nor fitness fondly dream. The only fitness He requires is to feel your need of Him." Well, sometimes I feel it, sometimes I don't feel as much as I ought to, but I tell you this, at all times I have a need, whether I feel it or not. I have a need. He healed them that possessed a need, that had a need of healing. This is the one description given. They had a need. Now, some may have felt more acutely their sense of need than others. Perhaps there were some who could not feel at all, and they perceived themselves as having a greater need than the ones who could. Whatever the case was, He healed those who had need of healing. Never forget, the whole needs not a physician, but they that are sick. Now this word healed is sometimes translated lack. Lack. He healed them that lacked healing. I utterly and completely lack righteousness in myself, and I need one. I utterly lack a payment for my sins. I lack any way to atone for my sins that I can come up with, and I need one. I lack a way to get to God in and of myself. I can't get there. And I need one. He heals those who lack. This same word is sometimes translated needful. Needful. Need, needful. Well, you can see that. I think of that passage of Scripture where Martha was busy, cumbered about with much serving, and Mary sat at the Savior's feet and heard His word. And Martha got upset. She said, "Master, don't you care that my servants left me alone to serve? Bitter therefore that she come and help me." She tells the Lord what to do. She was way out of line. "Martha, Martha, you're careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. One thing is absolutely necessary." Mary's chosen that good part. What was that good part she chose? To sit at His feet and hear His word. And I know this, it is absolutely necessary for me to hear from Him. It's not going to do me any good to just hear from a man. I need to hear His word. "Say unto my soul," David said, "I am thy salvation." I need to hear His word. This word is translated want. He healed them that wanted healing. Well, you know what? I want healing. I want to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That I may win Christ and be found in Him. I want that. I want to know Him. I want to know the power of His resurrection. I want to be healed. He healed them that wanted to be healed. Now, what you need is what is absolutely necessary to you. I mean, it's necessary. It's not like there's options. It's not like there's a plan B. What you need is what is absolutely necessary to you. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I need one to save me from my sins. I can't save myself. I need a Savior. I need mercy. I must have mercy. I can't stand before God without mercy. I must have Him not give me what I got coming to me. I can't stand before Him. I must have grace. I must have unmerited favor. If it's got to be merited, I'm finished. I must have unmerited, pure, free grace. I must. I'm diseased with sin, and I must be healed. I must. It's not like there's an option. I must. Let me show you Psalm 38. Would you turn with me there? I believe this expresses in verse 1, Psalm 38, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presses me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin, for mine iniquities are gone over mine head. As an heavy burden, they're too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I'm troubled. I'm bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease. And there's no soundness in my flesh. I'm feeble and sore broken. I've roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desires before Thee, and my groaning is not hid from Thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that opened not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and whose mouth are reproofs. For in Thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare mine iniquity. I'll be sorry for my sin. But mine enemies are lively, and they're strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. They also that render evil for good are mine adversaries, because I follow the thing that good is. Forsake me not, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Now, there's somebody who needed healing. Last phrase. What is the one requirement for the Lord to heal you? What is it? Need. Like I said, I might not feel it as much as I ought to, but I flat sure have it. Need. Now, what did He do with everybody without exception? What did He do for everybody that had this need? He healed them. With a word. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed, that Roman centurion said. He said, I understand something about authority. I am a man who has men under me. I say to one, go, and he goes. Another, come, he comes. And another, do this, and he does it. I understand something about authority, and I know all you got to do is say it. And it is. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He healed them with the word, but you know there was something behind that. Would you turn with me to one last scripture? 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 23. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, I want you to notice, it doesn't say by whose stripes you are healed. It says by whose stripes you were healed. You know what that means? It means you're already healed. Means you're plumb healed. Not you will be if. Not you are as you, but you were healed. You know what that means? It means it's already taken place. That means it's history. History can't be changed. It's history by whose stripes you were healed. There's a scripture in Romans chapter 6, verse 11. It says this. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. But I don't feel dead to sin. Are you though? If Christ died for you, what's your sin have to say to you? It's gone. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Would God tell you to reckon yourself to be dead to sin if you weren't? No. He says you are. Believe it. Believe it. And understand this too. One of these days we're going to experience this in its fullness. David put it this way in Psalm 17, verse 15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I'll be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. I can say to every believer, what's a believer? Somebody who really relies on the Lord Jesus Christ as their way to the Father. I come no other way. That's a believer. They believe that who Christ is and what He did is not merely the minimum, but the maximum and everything else. And He's the way to the Father. We come no other way. We come to the Father the same way He did. That's who a believer is. Every believer, they've been healed. Been healed. He healed them that had need of Him. Let's pray together. Our merciful and gracious Heavenly Father, we ask in Christ's blessed name, the high and holy name of Thy dear Son, that name that's above every name. We ask in His name that You would give us the grace to come to You only by Him. Lord, we're so thankful for the healing power of His blood that purges every spot and every stain and makes us perfectly clean before You. And Lord, we ask in His blessed name that You would give us grace to honor You in our words, in our actions, in our conduct, in our attitude. Lord, give us grace to glorify Thy dear Son and His healing power for Christ's sake. In His name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.
Bring it. Sure, Lord, bring it.